Have to sign you up for a few more solos.
If you have your Bibles with you tonight, let's go ahead and hold them up. And hasn't it been a good day in the Lord's house? I'm thankful for having a place, a lovely place like we have here that we can come to, gather together and sing songs together and fellowship one with another in likeness of mind, especially when we come around the Word of God. And so I'm so thankful for this particular day that we have. It could be our last day because the Lord could come back. Amen. We don't know when that is. It could be today. And I'm thankful this morning, the message we had in Sunday school, and then the morning message spoke to my heart as well. I hope that tonight will speak to your hearts. Let's go ahead and we're going to turn to the book of Daniel tonight. Daniel, and we'll be in the last chapter, chapter 12. Now, remember, in Daniel chapter 10 through verse 12, Daniel's being talked to by an angel. And in chapter 10, he was come to make Daniel understand what's going to happen to his people in the latter times, meaning the Jews. What's going to happen to them in the latter times when Daniel's not going to be there? But Daniel was privy to this information, and he was recording it. He was making this book under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God and writing these things down that the angel was saying to him. Now, we believe this angel was Gabriel, who talked to him and had given him wisdom to understand things in the past as well. And here in these last three chapters, he's given Daniel some wonderful, great detail. The visions in Daniel 11 and 12 have more detail regarding the events. If you remember, preceding the establishment of the kingdom promised to Israel. Then in chapter 11, the first couple of verses there repeat the vision of chapter 8 regarding the destruction of the Persian Empire by Alexander the Great, and we got into that in a lot of detail. And then the subsequent division of his kingdom following his death. Now the angel, if you remember, he was in his own little battle. Daniel had been praying for 21 days straight. What about my people, Lord? What's going to happen to my people? Remember, they were taken captive to Babylon. Daniel was praying to find out about this, and Gabriel says, you know, I knew you were praying, but I was busy fighting. There were some things that I was dealing with, but I'm here now, and now I'm here to tell you all these things. And so for the last three chapters, really, that's what we've been looking at, what the angel, Gabriel, was telling Daniel about what is going to happen to the Jewish people in the time of the end. Now, all the prophets of old that talked about the time of the end were, it's a statement that takes us to the end of the tribulation period, and we've been looking at that. In Daniel chapter 11, verses 5, probably through verse 20, gives the struggles between the southern and the northern parts of the Grecian Empire, both Egypt and Syria. And then in verses 21 to 25, he talked about the rule of Antiochus, and he was kind of a precursor to the coming Antichrist. And right there in verse 36 of chapter 11, Daniel makes this shift, or should I say the angel, makes this shift from Antiochus to begin to talk about the Antichrist, which he does to the end of the chapter. And so we have a lot of stuff here that's taking place that the angel is sharing with Daniel. One thing I like about Daniel was he was a man of purpose, and his purpose was to serve God with all his heart, mind, and soul, and strength. His purpose was to honor God in this world that he was tossed into. And Daniel was not only a man of purpose, but Daniel, we found, was a man of prayer. And his life was at stake because he was a man of prayer. People used it against him, threw him in the lion's den, and Daniel come out of that unharmed by a lion in that lion's den. And we also know not only was he a man of purpose and a man of prayer, but he was a man of prophecy. And he learned things from God, and God taught him things, and he could interpret dreams and do other things that dealt with the future and the prophecy of God, the things that God was going to bring to pass in the future. We got a lot of people like that today, don't we? Who want to make their statements of what's happening in the world today and what's going to happen tomorrow and how it's all going to come to an end. But my question is, does it align up with what the Bible itself says? I always say that when I hear somebody say something that, you know, the world's going to end like this or this is going to happen. And I say, really? Does the Bible say that? I want to know what the Bible says. It's the Bible that gives us a sound mind, especially in the area of prophecy. I believe the gift of prophecy halted in the first century. It was a first century phenomenon and only took place then. And today we have all the prophecy that we need in God's Word. God gives us the whole plan right here. We don't need somebody else coming along and giving us some prophecy of how things are going to happen that's contrary to God's Word. It's just wonderful to know the truth, isn't it? Amen, Pastor. Preach on, brother. We love the truth here. All right. Daniel 11, verse 40, he says here, and at the time of the end, here's another mention of the time of the end, shall the king of the south push at him. There's going to be a fight and a battle with the Antichrist. We looked at that, I believe, not last week, the week before, and then we got up to the part of the great tribulation and how it's all going to pull together. Jesus talked about this time here as well in Matthew 24. Daniel in chapter 12 here, verses 4 to 5, he talks about these end times as well. And I think we left off last time probably in verse 2. It says here, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And so Daniel goes on in verse 4 and says, but thou, O Daniel, or the angel, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the end of time. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Father in heaven, I pray for your word tonight as we look at the prophecy that was given to Daniel by the angel. And Lord, we're so thankful for it. And I just pray and ask that you might enlighten everyone who is here tonight to this passage of Scripture. Shine light upon our hearts as your word speaks to us. And we'll give you the praise and the thanks for the things you've already planned for each and every one of us and those here that Daniel was praying for and concerned about, his own people, what's happening to them in the end time as well. And we'll give you the praise and the thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One thing I liked about last time is we looked at everyone that shall be found written in the book. Well, we know the Lord has a lot of different books. He's got a library, I would imagine, with a lot of nice books in it, but there's recordings in all of these different books. We went to a lot of different scripture passages last time, and we looked, and we found that indeed there are a lot of books that the Lord is recording different things in. And so we moved on from that here to chapter 2. Or verse 2 of chapter 12, it says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, somebody might take that and say, well, you know, that's the rapture, or that's the great white throne of judgment, and they start talking and melding this in with every other prophecy of the what's going to happen in the end of the world and what have you. But Daniel here is getting a message from an angel from verse 10 all the way through the close of this book that deals with his people, the Jews, not us. And so he's talking to them, and he's saying, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. He's talking about at the end of the tribulation period. And, you know, today we're right here. This is 2020. We're starting a new year, and it's January. And as we look out into the future that way, if Jesus was to come tonight, well, he would be taking us all home. The Latin word for that is the rapture. But I like what the Bible says when it says that we're all going to be caught up with him. The Lord is going to catch us up to be with him. And when that happens, we know that that will allow the tribulation period to usher in. And so from this end of this dark carpet up here, this seven-year period brings us up to the end here. Most of the stuff that we're looking at here in Daniel now in this chapter is dealing with things happening right here at that end period. Really the last 3.5 years, but especially in this end time here just before the Battle of Armageddon comes, as we talked about last week. And so Daniel is told that many of them that sleep are going to wake up, those people at this time here, and they're going to be resurrected from the dead. And it's kind of interesting when you think about it, this idea of sleeping. What does he mean? Well, they're dead. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of John, the Gospel of John. Well, pastor that says they're sleeping, well, they're not going to sleep from then, from the book of Daniel here all the way to the end of the tribulation period. They're dead. But the Bible does call that sleeping. There's many references to that. John chapter 11 is what I got in my notes here. And in verse 11 it says, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Well, everybody knew Lazarus was dead, but Jesus said he sleepeth. You see how he changed that all up? He's not dead. He's just sleeping. You know, we think of our loved ones who have passed on, and we think, well, they're dead. You know, this is the day that they died, and they're over there in that grave. But really, when you and I die as a Christian, we go to be with the Lord. Our bodies are left in the grave. They're sleeping. They're waiting for the resurrection. And this is the intent that Jesus had here. And he says, Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. How interesting. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. They thought, well, just let him sleep. If he's alive, he's sleeping and he's resting. They didn't get it. That he had died indeed, but he was sleeping, is what the master told him. Look at the book of Acts, chapter 7, comes right after John. Chapter 7. This talking about Stephen, the deacon who was stoned to death. Verse 60 says, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Huh? Well, we think he died. Well, he did. But when you're talking about prophetic things for a Christian and a believer in the Old Testament, one of faith, they went to sleep, all right? It's called sleep. I mean, the Bible uses this throughout. And here the angel is telling Daniel, and many of them that sleep, those who have fallen asleep, he says, in the dust of the earth, they're going to wake up. Now, this is, I like this wake part here too. We got the sleeping, and then we have the waking part. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 20. The scripture says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. There's going to be an awakening. Right here at the end of the tribulation period, when it's all coming to an end, there's going to be a resurrection of past believers in the Lord, and they're going to be resurrected at that time. Often referred to as the first resurrection. And so we find here another passage of Scripture in chapter 7. Let me see here. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. But verse 51. And well, I'll read a couple of these verses. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." I'm talking about the resurrection, about us, that we're going to be caught up to be like the Lord. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." You're only going to sleep once. After that, when you're awake, and you're awake for good, is the idea that Scripture gives us. Finally, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, very familiar passages for us dealing with the coming of our Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul tells the church at Thessalonica in verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord..." And what he means is that that could be us tonight. If the Lord were to come tonight, that would be us. We remain alive until he comes. We were born, and we didn't go to sleep. But we remain alive or awake in this life here. And then he goes on and he says, "The Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which are we which are alive and remain shall be caught up," there's that phrase, "together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Come back here to Daniel. Now Daniel is talking about, for the Jews here, there's going to be those who have died, and they're going to come out of the ground. They're going to be resurrected, not to face the judgment. That's going to come for all the dead at the great white throne of the great white throne, where God will sit on that throne and make his judgments. But for you and I, we're going to be caught up with the Lord. Even if we pass and we're sleeping, our bodies are resting in the ground, the Lord's going to come before the tribulation can start, and we're going to be caught up to be with him forever. But the Jews, when they begin to be taken and resurrected from the dead, they're going to be resurrected for a purpose there for the Lord, the first of the resurrections here of them. There are several resurrections the Bible talks about. We've talked about them before. I don't want to get into all of them tonight. But I want to differentiate between the two. You and I are going to be caught up to be with the Lord forever. There's going to be a resurrection, though. And those who have fallen asleep as Christians when the Lord comes back for us are going to be resurrected a little bit differently than those who are Jews and God's remnant people who he's going to save at the end of the tribulation period. The angel is telling Daniel this here in verse 2. He says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth," many of them, not all of them, there's a reason for that, "but many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." And so you think about this, those who wake up to everlasting life, that's going to be a wonderful thing. The Bible says that they sleep in the dust of the earth. Well, you're probably thinking the dust, they're just stuck in the ground here, but really, if you were to look at the earth and at the center of the earth, you'd see, you know, the molten lava that's in there. And then the crust of the earth could be pretty thick in some places, you know, 10 miles deep, 5 miles deep, maybe even more than that, 50 miles deep, but you still have that center in there. But that dust is the outer crust that goes all the way around the earth here. And it doesn't matter where a body is laid in there, the Lord can bring them up out of there. You know, some people say, well, you know, when I die as a Christian, I'm just going to annihilate my body and just burn it and scatter it all over. Well, you can make that choice if you want to. I prefer to follow what the Lord, how the Lord was buried. He was buried in a tomb in his body, and he was resurrected that way. I like that. Even if my body is buried in a casket, and you know, I got to wait upon the Lord, and my body disintegrates, the Lord is going to pull that up. That's what he says. You don't die, and then the Lord raptures your body immediately, so you still have form like Lazarus. He was only dead a few days. But when we die and are put into the ground, God is going to take whatever is there, whatever remnant of dust or whatever you want to call it, DNA on us, and he's going to catch us up. So it's a real wonderful thing here. There is going to be a resurrection, some to everlasting life, and that's going to be those who are faithful, the believers, those that by faith have a relationship with God, when we're talking about here at the end of the tribulation period. And it's going to be a bright thing for them, a wonderful thing. And then there's some who are going into everlasting contempt. The unfaithful, those who have rejected God, the lost, and the shameful ones. And there's going to be a lot of shameful people who die before this time here. Remember, we talked about that last week. A third of the world is going to die just at the onset of the tribulation period. It's not going to be a very good time for the people who are left here on the earth. And that does not include us. I believe everyone here, every adult that is here is saved. And I hope that you are. If you're not, I hope this message is helping to open your eyes to the fact that you will be judged someday accordingly. But here we know that there's going to be a separation. He says in verse 3, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." And so this really is the end of what the angel has been talking about here to Daniel. He kind of ends this part of it here. He says, when it's all said and done, those who have, you know, led others to righteousness, they're going to shine. And he says those things. That kind of cuts off his message on this end time and what's happening to your people at the end. And then he gives a little bit of review and some other things in these next verses. But look what he tells Daniel here in verse 4. He says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up," or he means to preserve the words, "and seal the book, even to the time of the end," until that tribulation period there. That last 3.5 years, the book is to be sealed up. And then the angel says something interesting. He says, "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Now, a lot of people like to take this verse out of context and say, well, you know, this must be talking about right now, because look at all the things we know. I mean, knowledge is spreading so quickly because of all the social media that we have and all the outlets of news that we get and so many books. I mean, you can go on and Google a book and buy it and have it in 2 days, and knowledge is just spreading everywhere. But that's not what the angel was telling Daniel. He wasn't talking about that kind of knowledge. If you really studied ever since Daniel's day here and on, there's been an increase of knowledge. That's not what he's talking about. In today, if we were to draw a graph of how knowledge has taken quantum leaps, they call them great giant leaps, you know, for mankind, like going to the moon and stepping on the moon and all the knowledge it took to get there. It shows a great increase like this. And it's not talking about what the angel is telling Daniel. He's saying, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. He's talking about during the tribulation period, knowledge is going to be increased. Men are going to be looking for the answer. Why is this happening to us? Look at all the people that have died. Look at all the terrible things. And this ruler here, the Antichrist, whether or not they put those two words together, the Antichrist is causing world havoc. And he's just destroying everything and trying to control everybody, your very thoughts. And it's just been a nightmare for everybody. And they're trying to figure out, especially God's people, what has been happening. Now remember, a lot of preachers will be down here, 144,000 of them preaching all over the world. People are going to get saved. Jews are going to get saved. And they're going to come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ in those last 3.5 years like they've never done before. Oh, it's going to be a great thing for them. But they're going to be searching the scriptures because they're going to be preached at about the scriptures. And they're going to look to and fro to find that knowledge and increase their knowledge about these things. And it's going to be such a dramatic thing. Daniel, he says in verse 5, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And so he's seeing these two witnesses here confirming the truth. There are two angels, and they start talking. And verse 6 says, and one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be in the end of these wonders? And so they're kind of talking back and forth with each other. Back in chapter 8 and verse 24, look with me here in Daniel. And it says in verse 24 of chapter 8, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Talking about God's people, the Israelites. And then another passage of scripture here, look in chapter 11, verse 36. It says, and the king shall do according to his will. This is the Antichrist. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. And I kind of chuckled and I thought to myself, every god, how many gods do the nation of India have? Everybody has a god there. And then you have all these gods all around the world. But this Antichrist, his main target is Jesus Christ and God Almighty, the triune God. And he's going to exalt himself above them specifically, but all gods in general as well. And shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Now Daniel is wondering, when's all this going to end? And the angel here asked the other one, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? What wonders? The wonders of this Antichrist and what he's doing in the world during the tribulation period. It is going to be a time of wonders that the world has never seen before on this scale. And satanic wonders. Now, when we continue on here, look what he gives the answers, he says. And I heard in verse 7, the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven. That's kind of like a symbolic sign of, giving or swearing an oath when you hold both hands up and toward heaven. That was a Hebrew thing. And it said, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So he's giving, the angels are having discussions, and Daniel's listening in on all this, trying to get what he can, and of course the Holy Spirit used him to pen what we find here. But some things are happening here. The angels are exalting Almighty God, He that liveth, He that liveth forever. Now, I wrote down some verses here. I don't want to look at them all, but I do want to take you to 1 Timothy. Let's go to the New Testament. There's others in the Old Testament. I was thinking Daniel chapter 4 and Jeremiah chapter 4 talk about this. But let's go to Timothy chapter 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 13 says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep his commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. And so a definition there, another exalting of the triune God is made. These angels were doing that here. I swear to you by what they said, this is going to happen. Well, tonight, folks, I could say the same thing to you. I swear by God Almighty, by His Word, that these things are going to happen. Now, I may not be around when some of these things here happen, but I'll have my part of it when I pass. I know someday the Lord's going to take me home to be with Him. All these things we've been talking about, but for God's people here, I can swear on God's word that it says that it's right there in front of us. It's kind of an awesome thing. Now, I'm not doing that. I'm just telling you, I believe in God's word 100%. Literally, especially when it talks about what's going to happen in the future. Especially when it talks about saving someone's soul. What saves their soul? Who saves their soul? Especially when you open up to Genesis 1:1 and you read that, and you read all the way to the end, you do your yearly Bible read, or you do that in 3 months, or you do it however it takes you to get to it, and you get to the end, and you said to yourself, you know what, I believe everything from Genesis 1:1 all the way to the end of Revelations. Every bit of it. I can swear by it. Now, the Lord tells us don't swear by these things, but we could do that because God's word is truth. It is that faithful. People like to change God's word and so that it fits into the current times. That doesn't work for us. There's a lot of trickery there. People have been saying we're in the end times for a long time now because they've been looking at what it says and looking out here. Really, none of us will experience the tribulation period and the things that begin, a lot of the signs that are talked about in the Bible, until it actually begins. And we'll be gone. And that's okay with me. I don't want to stick around because I know it's going to happen. Just like the Bible says. There will be those who experience it. And that's what he's talking about here in this verse 7. He says, swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. Well, I did the math for you. That's 3.5 years. Okay, the last 3.5 years there is what he's talking about. And then secondly, the purpose. We got the time, 3.5 years. But the purpose here is to scatter the power of the holy people. That's confusing. We mean scatter the power of the holy people during that last 3.5 years. Well, the Old Testament tells us about these things. All these things have to come to pass. Now, I thought about that. I wrote myself a note here right in the margin of my Bible. And after 3.5 years of Satan's taunting here on earth, okay, of God's people, proud Israel is no longer going to trust in their self-sufficiency. See, God's bringing them to this point. This isn't happening by chance. God is going to lead them here. I learned a new definition of a word today. I was reading about a whip. And of course, you know, I know Pastor John's got one of those bull whips, and he's probably thinking of that. Maybe you are. But I'm thinking of the political whip. A whip is somebody who has the power in either the Senate or the Congress to, if it's a Republican or if it's a Democrat, a whip has the power, and he's supposed to go around and count everybody's head and make sure that all those people vote when their time comes. And so he really has, he's involved in all of that kind of stuff a lot. Now, with that power comes other responsibilities and things that a whip has. But here, the angel is saying that God's people are going to be scattered all around in this 3.5 year period by Satan. And they're going to come to their senses. They're going to need somebody to bring them to their senses. And I think there's going to be a lot of God's people there at the time, and especially our Lord when he comes back. The people are going to be ready. The Jews are going to be ready for him. And they're going to turn from their own self-sufficiency and call upon the Lord to save them. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful thing. It has to happen that way. Turn with me to Romans chapter 11, because it talks about the times of the Gentiles. You and I are Gentiles. And when that time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, and there will be Gentiles in the tribulation period. Romans chapter 11. And verse 25, the Apostle Paul says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in," to the end of the tribulation period. That's when that happens. "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." This body of believers here, these Jewish believers at the end of the tribulation period, are going to represent Israel in being saved, and the Lord saving them from the terrors of the tribulation period and death. And when you think of that battle we talked about, Armageddon, it's going to be a marvelous thing for God's people, the Jews, to be saved by him. Now, we've got just a couple of minutes left. Look what happens in verse 8 here. "And I heard," this is Daniel, "and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" What things? Well, in verse 7, those things he was just talking about. "And he said, Go thy way, Daniel." I thought to myself here, likely Daniel, he was bewildered and wasn't able to wrap his head around all this, probably like most of us. There's a lot of stuff here that's going to happen. Daniel was being told this by angels. He was given a divine enlightenment by divinity. And so it's pretty incredible here that the angel tells him, just go thy way, Daniel. I think Daniel, he served his purpose up to this point here, and he was left to trust God that everything that God said and God put in his word would come to pass. Daniel, your job is to write this all in the book and to seal this book up. Then just trust God that he'll take care of that. You know, when you and I move along and go home to be with the Lord, his word is still going to be here. It's going to be the job of those who come after us to, if timing is that way, unless we go home to be with the Lord and the tribulation period starts. But everybody who comes after us, it's going to be up to them to take this word, this torch here, if you will, and trust it and believe in it. And so the angel is telling Daniel for him to go his way. And in the end, it's kind of good, because it says here, "Daniel, for the words are closed up," in verse 9, "and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Now, let's go to Zechariah 13. I think I read this last week. So go to the right, just before Malachi. Chapter 13, verse 8. Zechariah said, "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die." This is during the tribulation period before the Lord returns. That's the timeline here. "But the third part shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. The remnant is going to be that third part left over. The Lord is going to save them. And he says here back in Daniel 12 and verse 10, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. In Revelation chapter 9, it talks about the wicked at that time during that tribulation period. They never repent of their sins. They just continually sin. And you get that idea from what the angel here was saying to Daniel. Let them do their wicked. That's what they're going to do their wickedly things. And so the wise will understand. And why are they going to understand? Because they're going to have God's word. You got to have God's word to understand. And so they're going to have God's word. It's going to be available to them. They're going to search it. They're going to find in it when the seal is broken open to them. And a lot of that seal is taking away the blinders of their eyes that the devil has put on them, or the Antichrist, but that time is coming. And verse 11 says, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days, 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. That's 1,335 days. Well, what we got here? We got a total of 75 days. I did the math for you. You can recheck me later if you want to. Here at the end of the tribulation period, after the Battle of Armageddon, and things come to an end here, and the Antichrist is going to be, his whole operation is going to come to an end. There's actually going to be about a 75-day period here before the 1,000-year reign of Christ is established. And there's a lot of administrative things, I think of it that way, during that 75-day period that's going to happen. The angel even gives Daniel these details. But he tells him in verse 13, go thy way, but go thou thy way to the end be. For thou shalt rest, you shall sleep, right? And stand in thy lot at the end of the days. You shall sleep, Daniel, but then you're going to awake and you're going to stand in those last days. He's given them that promise. And so Daniel knew that for him to sleep did not mean that he was going to be obliterated into nothing or annihilated, but that he was going to be with the Lord. And someday he would stand on his feet and he would see the very truth of the scripture that he penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Someday you and I will be with the Lord, and we'll think back to the times we spent here on earth and we heard different messages of scripture being given. And we'll be able to think on those things and say, thank you, Lord, that I trusted in your word. Thank you, Lord. Let's ask God's blessing on his word. Father, we love you tonight and we thank you for your word. I ask that you might use this, Lord, to help us to understand. And just like Daniel, I know we can be bewildered, Lord, but we know enough of your truth in our hearts that we can rest in peace and know that we have a sound mind because of your Bible. Your word tells us, Lord, that you give us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And that's because of your word, and we thank you for it. Help us in an upside-down world, Lord, to continue to trust in you and point others to Jesus. And we'll give you the praise and the thanks. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.